You're listening to EA Radio, and welcome to Hot Start with Digital Dave and Fast Eddie. And right now, Fast Eddie's rolling into the studio.
Yes, feverishly running through the doorway.
Back in April, Doug White rented a King Air from a familiar fellow, and a familiar pilot flew him and his family to, headed to Louisiana, I believe, and they never made it because his pilot had a heart attack and climb out in southwestern Florida. And it was up to the air traffic controllers and Kerry Sorensen to bring him back. We'll bring up Kerry Sorensen in just a minute. But here's some of the drama that occurred in the air.
Fort Myers Center, King Air 559 Delta Whiskey.
King Air 559 Delta Whiskey, Fort Myers approach. And are you in a descent right now, sir?
I am. What you want me to do is hold it or what?
Actually, if you can... We can just start a descent down to 5,000, and we're getting some help from another pilot that's familiar with the airplane. We'll get you some information. Can you descend the airplane?
I can, down to 5,000 on heading 270. This is a King Air 200.
King Air 9 Delta Whiskey, Roger. We're passing that information now. If you're able, fly heading 240 and descend and maintain 5,000. Just take your time. We'll set you up for the airport.
Yeah, I did.
All right, 240 to 5,000, Niner Delta Whiskey.
And November Niner Delta Whiskey, are you using the autopilot or are you flying the airplane?
Me and the good Lord hand flying this Niner Delta Whiskey.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Nine Delta Whiskey, are you a licensed pilot?
No time, single engine land, Niner Delta Whiskey.
Okay, very good. King Air 9 Delta Whiskey, when you're ready, turn a left heading 180. We'll start working you towards the airport. Whenever you're ready to turn, fly heading 180.
180 to 5,000 for Niner Delta Whiskey. I need to slow my descent down. That's 2,500 feet per minute here. I need to get my throttle set for this descent. I don't know where to set it at.
Okay, sir, we'll get some information. If you just retard it just a little bit, and I'll get you an answer on that. If you want to stop the descent, that's fine, too.
I'm 150 knots. I need to keep stalling this airplane. I'm just going through a little descent here.
Okay, sir, just advance the throttles, and your altitude's good, so I guess just pick up the speed with the throttles and try to hold 5,000 feet. And $9 whiskey, the information I'm getting now is...
All right, and let's bring in King Air pilot Kerry Sorensen. Good morning, Kerry. Where were you when you first got a call from your friend down in Florida?
Where was I? I was sitting at home, actually.
Just hanging out? It was a pretty nice day or not, but what was the first thing your friend said to you?
Typical friendship phone call. Once somebody calls me, I pick up the phone and say, "Hey, buddy." And the first words out of his mouth is, "Kerry, we need your help."
And I said, "Okay, we're talking about financial help."
Yeah, he wants you to come over and cut the lawn.
Well, anytime any one of my friends needs my help, they always get it, and they always get my attention. So, I said, "Sure, buddy, what's up?" And that's when he said, "We got a guy in a King Air just died, and passenger taking over the controls, and we need to get him down."
And he remembered that you had time in a King Air and might be able to help.
Yeah, yep, exactly. I'd flown him. He knew it had been a number of years, but, I got a lot of experience and things like that, and he knew I could pull it out. So, and what I mean by pull it out is just pull out my manuals and stuff like that if I needed to. So,
I imagine the hair on your neck stood up when you heard that.
You have no idea. You have no idea. It's I had since chatted with Doug White, and in retrospect, you play this thing over and over and see what you did right and what you did wrong. And when I first got the phone call, my girlfriend Ashley was there. But when I first got the phone call, I turned to Dan. I said, "Dan, what kind of condition is the airplane in?" And he said, "Well, currently the airspeed is varying over 100 knots."
Ooh.
And I turned to Ashley, and it was like, we got a 5% chance of making this happen.
Yes. You got a pilot that is having trouble just kind of keeping an airspeed that's consistent, yes.
Yeah. And, I think in retrospect, looking back on it and really analyzing it, The one thing that we did right as a team was we told them to fly it like a single engine. And that's when he started to take control, and he focused in on what he knew. And what I mean by he is Doug White. But he looked at the attitude indicator. He had told me that he was over the Gulf and had no horizon. And, you know, he focused in on the attitude indicator and kept it to the level.
Okay, hold on. We got to wait for the aeroshell team to...
Right in on the airspeed, started to move the throttles accordingly to get the airspeed that he needed. And that was when he really took command. But the really neat part is that he really taught himself how to fly the airplane. We just kind of gave him the tools for it.
What were some of the things that that you thought about? Because, you know, when I thought about this scenario and put myself in a place, I said, where do you start? Especially because you don't, you know... Any King Air, you know, you've flown King Airs, I've flown King Airs, and you think about it, it seems like every panel is totally different about, especially with customer options.
Well, you know, essentially we started right where we needed to, and that was get the airplane under control. And, you know, give him an airspeed and see if he can start to obtain it and start to, you know, stay within a reasonable, you know, window on that airspeed. And, literally for 20 minutes, Dan Fabio and I were talking back and forth on the phone call. It's kind of interesting because you listen to the tapes and not a whole lot of information was going back and forth to Mr. White. However, Dan Fabio and I were just nonstop talking about how we can, you know, get it under control and manipulate it and what's going on and okay. And you know, the four-person team really played a role because it was just essential information was relayed at the right time.
How long did he end up flying the plane? It sounds like he flew it for more than an hour.
I think it was roughly 40 minutes, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it wasn't a very long flight, but I'm sure that once he got it under control, I remember listening to the whole tape, and when they got him lined up, and probably it was about a 20 to 30 mile final, it seemed like. Now it was just kind of waiting for time to get by so that he could get to the airport, and you know, everybody seemed to relax just a little bit more.
Well, the tape showed that, but we were talking back and forth an awful lot.
Now, physically, where were you in relation to the airport he landed at? You were in another state?
I was about 1,600 miles away. Well, 1,200 and some odd miles away.
Well, that must have added to a sense of your frustration.
Not really, not at all. You know, the interesting part about this that maybe, you know, and some people will realize, but most people do not, is that not one of us saw the airplane. Dan Fabio and Brian Norton, the two controllers, were downstairs in the TRACON facility in the Fort Myers Tower. So they're in an enclosed dark room, and I'm sitting 1,200 miles away in my home in Connecticut.
Wow.
Geez, talk about remote control.
What, did you, who did the most, I mean, the tapes are out there, but obviously Doug White was able to focus on the single engine flying aspect of it, and I thought I was impressed with the way you approached it, and you said you just worked on throttle changes without throwing too many numbers at him.
Well, we didn't even work on throttle changes at all. The only numbers we threw at him were airspeeds. We let him do the throttle changes to obtain that.
Could you get a sense of his confidence level? Was it growing as he continued on?
You know, I did not have the opportunity during the phone call to hear his voice at all. So I had no idea his stress level. I had no idea anything. I did not hear his voice. All that information was being relayed to me. And the advantage of that actually worked well because the emotion was completely taken out of it. And, you know, it was just essential information.
Well, I'm assuming the controllers were feeding you information in relation to how well he was flying, and you could see that his airspeed excursions were becoming less and less.
Oh, I had, you know, they were drawing pictures for me, you know, verbal pictures. And, you know, again, I'll emphasize that it was just nonstop communication. I listened to the tapes afterwards, and I sat there. And it was like, you know, where is all this time? You know, it seemed like 5 minutes. And it was just amazing. But they were essentially just drawing a verbal picture as far as what was going on with the airplane, and then would discuss, you know, okay, well, you know, we need to do this by this time frame, how far, you know. Actually, I didn't say how far out he was, but, you know, we're just trying to get the airplane under control and give him a good airspeed to get at, and next thing I know is he's 500 feet above the ground.
Well, it was an excellent job of working with your friends down in Florida. Probably did a flurry of media interviews right after the incident happened. What is one thing you'd like to communicate that has been missed in past news reports?
I think the one thing I'd like to communicate is that the person that really did this was Doug White. And he was the one that was at the controls. He was the one that was scared to death. He was the one that had a pilot that had passed away right next to him. He was the one that had to take control and make this happen. The one thing that we did was we just gave him the tool. You know, we just gave him the tools, and a couple tools at that, and he ran with it. And you know, probably the most important thing is that, you know, Joe Kabeck's family. You know, don't forget that there was a good man that passed on here.
Yeah.
Well, Kerry, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Good luck, guys.